Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 44, studying Mark chapter 16. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. To access all of our IGH 260 programs, go to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Remember, God's Word can be summed up in 3 simple statements. Here's where you are. Here's where you need to be. Move. In the New Testament, God's move from here to there directive shows up in the words faith, repentance, baptism. Each of those 3 words enjoins a starting place that never ends. Faith, biblical saving faith, in order for it to be what God wants it to be, will always continue in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith never stops. Repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, repentance never stops. And baptism, our death to self and death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ, that initial obedience, baptism, has never been a single, one-time, one-off act of faithful obedience. No, it has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot truly love and serve Father, Son, and Spirit apart from these modeling Jesus elements. Let's return to our study of this final chapter in Mark's Gospel. As we continue our study of Mark 16, there are 2 sentences, 5 words in all, that demand our attention. He is risen, go tell. At the end of our last broadcast, we had just introduced the first sentence, the first 3 words. They are, he is risen. Those 3 words not only changed the thinking and the faith of Mary, and Salome, they changed the world. Jesus, the Son of God, had risen from the dead. The opening chapter of Revelation, in just 2 verses, uses several distinct descriptors to identify Jesus. The ones we note here were all used by Jesus himself. In Revelation 1:8, we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. 3 verses later, in Revelation 1:11, the text says, Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. If we took the time to look at each of these expressions, we would see that they all were used in the Old Testament to describe and to identify God the Father. We note only 2 examples. Isaiah 41 verse 4 says, Who has performed and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. 3 chapters later, in Isaiah 44, 6, we read, Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. These First Testament expressions not only described and identified the God of Israel, they pointed to God's singular existence. There was no God but Jehovah God. That, as we have seen in earlier studies, was noted by Jesus as the first of all the commandments, Mark 12:29. That text, citing Deuteronomy 6, says, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." John's message in the first chapter of Revelation, all of the unique identifiers used of the Old Testament Jehovah God apply equally to Jesus the Christ, God's Son. But there's something else to note here. Before the first chapter of Revelation ends, Jesus employs another similar expression to distinguish his identity. Hear Jesus' words, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. After the previous cited verses, Revelation 1:8 and Revelation 1:11, where Jesus spoke of himself using the same identifying descriptions that appeared in the First Testament of Jehovah God, John was commissioned by Jesus to write to the seven churches of Asia, Revelation 1, verse 11. John turned to see the voice that spoke with me, John 1:12. And as John turned, he saw the incredible image of one like the Son of Man. He was wrapped around the chest with a band of gold. His head and his hair was white as wool and snow. His eyes were like flames of fire, his feet like brass, with a voice like the sound of many waters. After John collapsed at the feet of the Son of Man, Jesus touched him and said, "Do not be afraid." Just as the angelic character calmed the women at the tomb, Jesus calmed John. And then Jesus identified himself once again, using two related but very distinct expressions. The first one, "I am the first and the last," mirrors what we saw earlier in chapter 1, verse 8. But then the second, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." That second was uniquely a description of Jesus himself. Later, in Revelation 5, verses 6 and following, Jesus as the Lamb that was slain appears in the throne room of God. That image squares with Jesus' description that we find here in Revelation 1:18. Jesus, eternal as was God, lived with God. But Jesus, eternal as was God, also lived among men. And as the all-God, all-man, one-of-a-kind Son of God, Son of Man that Jesus was, he died, Philippians 2, 5 and following. And in the end, he who lives and was dead was now alive evermore. Neither Revelation 1:18 nor Revelation 5:6 explicitly reference the resurrection of Jesus, but both of those texts implicitly demand it. Jesus was only alive evermore because of the resurrection, chapter 1, verse 18. And again, Jesus was only the living Lamb that had been slain because he rose from the dead. We are not there yet, but as we explore all of the faith terms that appear in Mark 16, we will see that they point to a particular kind of faith, one that might be called resurrected Messiah faith. It was not enough to believe that Jesus lived. It was not enough to believe that Jesus died. Saving faith demands that we believe that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, and that Jesus lives again. Saving faith rests on this foundation, that Jesus was, as Paul stated it, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Though that kind of faith requires much of us in thought and in a changed life, all anticipated in our three-word summary of God's MOVE directive, the last thing that we want to highlight here are these two words, go, tell. Now that the women have seen the empty tomb, empty because Jesus' body was not there, now that they saw and heard the man in the tomb, now that they heard that man say that Jesus had risen, heard him say that Jesus was not there, now they needed to follow the next directive, go, tell. As you might expect, both words, go and tell, both are commands. They are you, second person plural commands, meaning all of you must go and must tell. The women would, as directed by the angel in the tomb, go tell the disciples. A quick aside, the figure that Mark identified as a young man in Mark 16:5 was identified as an angel in Matthew 28, verses 1 and following. Those women would go tell the disciples. And as those disciples came to have resurrected Messiah faith, they and all Christians after them would go tell the world, Jesus is risen. He is not here. Go tell. Let's think for a few moments about the nature of faith as it's presented in this setting. Mark uses faith-related terms some 26 times throughout his gospel, 7 times alone in the final chapter. But, as we shall presently note, faith, though usually thought of as something positive in Scripture, does not always come across that way in this context. In the first faith reference in the chapter, Mark 16:11, we read, "And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." 3 women went to the tomb. 3 women saw that it was empty. And 3 women heard the angel say, "He is risen, he is not here." But in this context, only one of them, Mary Magdalene, actually saw Jesus. Mary's first reaction, as Mark recorded it, she went to tell those who had been with him. What was their response? Mark tells us, "And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." Note that again. They did not believe her testimony. In the second faith text in Mark chapter 16, Mark 16 verse 13, the 2 men who saw Jesus as they walked along the road to Emmaus, they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Just like the first, their witness was not believed. To hear the rest of our study, go to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260 and click lesson number 7 in week number 44. These reminders as we close, to start our online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.